Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly unfold, or did they change history? Good evening, and welcome back to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they watched together long ago.
We give each movie a memory score, and then we watch the movie to see whether or not it's better or worse than we remember, and then we score the movie again.
With me, as ever, is my son Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm good, actually. I'm all right. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I think I've been better, but I'm surviving.
Oh, yeah. There must be something new in your life, though. I think we haven't done it for a while, but we're all interested in Sam's anecdote of the week.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We've got a fan base going. I was in Game, other video game shops are available, and I was at the till talking to the cashier, and he must have recognised my voice and then got my name from the email address for the receipt. And he said, you sound really familiar. Where do I know you from? And he put it two and two together that it was the podcast. He really enjoys the podcast. He had a nostalgic thing himself with his dad, where they used to grow up and play different video games together. And they were kind of inspired, so they're looking to start their own podcast. And I just thought that was quite nice.
Wow, that's a lovely thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Game. And thank you for the nice man in Game. You got recognised.
I did.
That's awesome. That is a good anecdote of the week.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to hear that.
It's exciting.
Well, at the end of Sam's magnificent anecdote of the week, we have our listener question. And this question comes all the way this week from Los Angeles. So
we are
going global. This is actually somebody from Los Angeles. Their name is Gail, G-A-L-E, which I'm assuming is... I want to say a boy, could be a girl.
True.
I don't know. But Gail has asked us this question. Apart from saying very nice things about the podcast and particularly enjoying our episode on Sky High, interestingly enough, which Gail says is a long-lost classic movie. I wouldn't disagree with that, actually. And they asked the question in anticipation of this week's episode, and that is if we could nominate from our childhood any television series or movie that was ripe for a reboot, what would we choose?
Here's a good one that isn't like something I would usually pick. Do you remember the old, it turns out it was DC, cartoon Static Shock?
I do remember that, yeah.
I would love to see that as a movie or like some sort of live action series.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a deep cut, but it's a good shout. I like that
very
much.
Yeah, I missed that show.
Yeah.
Although I don't think it's aged well, actually.
Well, some of them haven't, have they? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, like, things that would be within our sort of time frame, because it'd be different things from me, from my child, different things from you. But I remember Ben 10. That deserves something.
Yeah.
Although maybe that ship has sailed. Kim Possible, again, maybe that ship has sailed too.
Maybe.
But that would be a good one. I also thought another one that you and I could identify with, I wouldn't mind to see a Chuck, Where Are They Now, 20 Years Later.
Yeah, that's always a big one, yeah.
That would be a good one. And then The Office, I think, would be a good one to see again.
Oh, absolutely.
Where they are now. But I can't think of anything from... This is a deep cut for listeners of my age, from my generation. There was a television program called Mr. Ben.
Ben. Yeah, yeah.
And there was talk a few years ago of that being turned into a movie.
Wow.
And nothing happened.
There's a funny reference to Mr. Ben in the latest Christmas episode of Doctor Who. It's like a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing.
Right. No. I did see that. Yes. Yes, I did. Yes.
I did
see that. So at the end of Gail's question, I think I am going to go Mr. Ben.
Yeah. Good shout.
Okay, thanks for your question, Gail. So, Sam and I have both been away and we have rewatched the 2004 Jonathan Frakes directed classic Thunderbirds, which from memory I gave a 3 out of 10. Can you remember what you gave it?
I gave it a 2 out of 10. It's usually you goes lower, but yeah, it's me.
You had a marginally worse memory of this movie than I did, and that's probably generational too, actually.
Yeah.
And so... obviously we've been away, watched it again, and now we're going to talk about it. So, do you think your score has changed?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I can comfortably say that my score has changed too, although yeah. we don't know for better or for worse. So what's your first reaction to the movie? Just give it to me right now. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when we start talking about this movie?
Why? Not why. Not why do you want me to answer that question, but like why does this film exist?
That's what I thought, and actually it's interesting, isn't it? Because the film is clearly designed for your generation.
Yeah.
So you are sort of barely double figures when this movie comes out. It's designed for you. It's designed for the Spy Kids generation. But it's true. Harking back to something that would be from my generation. So I grew up with the Thunderbirds as the kind of puppet show on television. And it doesn't land for either audience.
No, it's a bit... It was either a hit or a miss, but this one very much missed, I think. Yeah.
Well, it from a nostalgia point of view, it did nothing for me as the grown-up watching it. And yeah. presumably, based on what you're saying, from the let's get a new audience point of view, it didn't do anything either.
No, I think back then as well, I wasn't really that bothered by it. I think probably gimmicky in the sense of I wanted the toys for it. But then the toys probably back then weren't really a very positive reflection of the film. It's not one of those ones where you go out and go, oh, I want to play this film. It's just you want to play with the concept of Thunderbirds. You don't go, I want it to be this character. I want to be Alan. It doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't do that.
No, it didn't make
any...
No, I do remember, correct me if I'm wrong here, I do seem to remember this being a Happy Meal tie-in. I do remember sort of getting the Thunderbirds toys.
Yeah.
Briefly, that being a cool thing.
It's interesting that you say that, actually, because that kind of adds something to what was in my head that didn't make any sense. And it was a weird sort of description of this film for me. I call it a product of its time, but I think I'd referred to it as a cereal box film. And I think yes. you're on the right track with the Happy Meal thing, where it feels like you'd go to the shop, I was going to say supermarket, but that's just weird, and you'd go down the cereal aisle and there's the Thunderbirds on your Weetabix, and you get a free toy inside. And the whole film reflected that for me, where it was colourful, it was bright, it was very childlike, and you thought, oh, here's this bog standard ABC, I'm going to put my hand in it and find something really cool. And it, that's a cereal box film. Have I just invented a new term?
I think you probably have, but I know exactly what you mean. So yeah. if you are seven and you open your cornflakes and inside is Thunderbirds 2, that's amazing.
Yeah.
If you then make all of that into a film, less amazing.
Exactly. It works in theory, but not in concept. Wait, that's the same
exactly.
thing.
No, it sort of is the same thing, but I know exactly what you mean. The theory is brilliant. The execution is less brilliant. We always talk about the cast, and there's not a lot to say about the cast. But you know, we do that thing where we kind of go away and say, "Okay, who are they? Where are they now?" The lead actor, who played Alan Tracy as a 14-year-old boy, is a guy called Brady Corbett.
Yeah.
Did you do your research into Mr. Brady Corbett?
I didn't, no.
So, okay, so I'm going to get, we'll do this as a multiple choice quiz.
Okay, cool. Okay,
Brady Corbett, 2025. Is he A, dead, B, retired from acting, C, an incredibly well-respected movie director?
I feel bad if he's dead and I just laughed at that. I think he's a retired actor.
It's the answer to the question is C.
Wow. Okay.
He is an incredibly well-respected film director. In 2024, he directed The Brutalist, which won him Best Director at the Golden Globe. And 3 Academy Awards, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay.
That's like a really good example of learning from your past mistakes.
Maybe that's true. I was amazed to find out. I have not seen The Brutalist. It's one of those films that people tell you you should watch, and it's about 17 hours long, and you think, no, I can't be bothered. But I know that it was incredibly popular, very well respected. He's the director.
That's incredible. I would never have guessed. Yeah.
I would never have guessed it either. I'm sorry, Brady, if you ever listened to this and I did the quiz where you may have been dead. You're not. You're very much alive and you're very successful, and more power to you. You should Google him, because he doesn't look anything like he did when he was 14.
I thought so, yeah. I'm really sorry that I keep laughing at the mention of him being dead, though.
No, he isn't dead. You know, back in Aragon, we made the comment that we wanted to be... that we would like to see the film that Jeremy Irons thought he was in.
Yeah, yeah.
Ditto Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, I think Ben Kingsley used his Shakespearean acting ability to phone it in.
Oh, that's so true. He is, I think, possibly the saving grace of the movie.
Yeah, I think Bill Paxton's the saving grace of the movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, Bill Paxton is the saving grace of every movie.
Exactly.
The best way to watch Titanic is the first 5 and last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Everything you need to know about Bill Paxton's character in Titanic is, I want the diamond. Where's the diamond? Everybody died. I don't want the diamond. The end. No, you're right, Bill Paxton. And also, a young Vanessa is in this movie as well.
What?
I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say her surname.
Hudgens, I think. Yeah,
that's the one. She went on to be in the later classic High School Musical.
Tick, Tick, Boom. Oh, yeah.
Things.
And she's in Tick, Tick, Boom, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course she is, yeah. So the cast is game enough, yeah?
Yeah.
Going back to Ben Kingsley, if we can, just for a moment. I thought he was quite good in this. You think he phoned it in? I think that's probably true. Do you think he had any idea what he was doing?
In a way, I kind of hope not, because that makes it funnier. Part of me also thinks that maybe he went and did the research and understood the character better than anybody else. So he knew what he was. Yeah, he knew what was going on, but everyone else was just like, "Oh, he's the bad guy."
And his whole motivation is, you don't save everybody.
But, yeah,
but you're alive. He did then.
True.
His wife's dead. You're alive. Get over it.
Yeah. The whole mind control thing just feels like it's shoehorned in as a superpower that nobody else can, like no one else has superpowers. It's like, well, okay, yeah, sure.
Except for young Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
Who, for some reason, also has the same superpower, and hers is better, so she defeats him in the end. Job done. There we are. I mean, you could have done that ages ago. The whole second third of the movie was frustrating, because it's just three children running around an island.
I've got a lot to say about that. Yeah,
let's hear it. I've been speaking far too much. It's your turn.
Okay. The sort of the kid characters. There's a lot of points actually, but I'll save some of them. They, in my opinion, none of these characters have any redeeming qualities. I found them annoying and completely useless. And no offense to people with real stutters, but I hated it. That's another point I'll get later on.
I was going to get to that, but the stutter joke is not funny.
Yeah.
In fact, it's even allowing for the kind of modern world being sensitive to things like this. Even in 2004, it would have been borderline offensive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a line that I wanted to reference as well that really also annoyed me. Somebody, I think it's Bill Paxton, says, "Alan, well done." I'm like, well done for what? He didn't do anything. The whole point of this movie is that they want to have the younger cast take over the mantle. And there's a few of those films, but this isn't one of them. And it doesn't make any sense for them to just suddenly be heroes and suddenly be thrown into the Thunderbirds team at the end when they did nothing. I don't understand it.
And equally, how thoroughly dislikable are the rest of the Thunderbirds? Bill Paxton aside, Bill Paxton, decent guy. The rest of them are just five preppy, awful guys. They're just horrible.
Yeah, they seem too busy being full of themselves to actually save the day. And meanwhile, the kids who have no clue where or what's going on have to then step in. And It's so frustrating. I can't put it into words how annoying I found it.
I found, while we were on things that irritated us, so the guy, Ben Kingsley, his character, I can't remember what he's called, it's not important, the word or something. And what was it?
The Hood.
That'll do. So the Hood character, he wants to rob banks, right?
Yeah.
He has mind control. Okay. So I want to rob banks. I've got mind control. I walk into a bank and say, let me into vault. I rob a bank.
Yeah.
Or I can come up with a massively convoluted plot that's going to take over Tracy Island, send the rest of the Thunderbirds team hurtling around in space, do my best to steal all Thunderbirds ships, go to London with incredibly complicated device. Which of those, if you're the... another multiple choice. A, use mind control. B, incredibly convoluted plot that's almost certainly going to fail.
Absolutely A. But I also don't understand the whole London thing. I was a bit confused about it. All of a sudden, they were just in London, right?
Well, I think Thunderbirds is traditionally British.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think that's the thing there. So it makes sense that they go to London, but they're all Americans. I do want to go back to one thing that I just said a moment ago, and because I feel like I don't want the point to be lost. The rest of the Thunderbirds are horrible.
Yeah,
you said no redeeming features whatsoever. They're neither heroic nor intelligent nor particularly brave. They're basically five spoiled Californian children.
Yeah,
I did not like them. I didn't get it.
And it painted them as the world loves them, so let's paint murals everywhere, so to speak. But you never really even got the intention that people loved them. They weren't heroes, they weren't put high on a pedestal. They were just annoying.
They were annoying, and every time you knew the world loved them, it was because you had a really tight shot of a crowd of about 17 people and a reporter standing in front of a green screen, saying the world loves them, and clearly it was 17 people being paid to be extras and clap and applaud when the assistant director told them to.
Yeah, that brings me to my next point. Sponsored by Ford.
Definitely.
Did you see that?
So many references to Ford.
Yeah, but even the news just saying sponsored by Ford in the corner. Like what news channel does that?
I know.
With Fords in the background.
Every car was a Ford. The news channels were sponsored by Ford. I'm pretty sure there's a big F on Thunderbird 2. I will say one thing in its defense, though, if I may, in defense of the movie.
Okay.
Actually, I've probably got two or three things in defense of the movie. First thing, number one, and I think I'm not prepared to die on this hill, by the way.
Okay.
But I don't think it was necessarily badly directed.
Yeah, I think... I can agree with that to some extent, I think, yeah. I think the script lets it down.
Right, so the guy who directed it, as you know, I'm sure, Jonathan Frakes, who is famous for Star Trek The Next Generation, in which he played Commander Riker. He had a couple of... he had directed a couple of Star Trek movies, First Contact and Insurrection, and they'd been big, big hits, and I'm sure that's what got him this gig. And I think he did a pretty decent job of a very, very poor script.
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to work with, but he did. He worked with it, yeah.
Second thing, again, not going to die on this hill. Did you notice who did the soundtrack?
No.
Because we had this conversation last week. It is. Astonishingly, the soundtrack for this movie is Hans Zimmer.
I can't believe I didn't notice that. I remember.
Right? So then what I then did was I thought, okay, that's interesting. I'm now going to go back and I'm just going to listen to the soundtrack.
Okay.
I don't want any of the pictures in my head, any of the nastiness in my head. I'll just listen to the music. It's amazing.
I'll have to go back then, yeah.
It's like the greatest soundtrack of all time.
Okay.
Again, not a hill I'm going to die on, and I'm sure Mr. Zimmer forgets it's on his CV. But just go back and listen to it. Don't do the movie, just the music. It's amazing. It's fantastically good. There we are. And although the Busted song kills it.
Yeah, that's also not aged well.
I was really
hoping it had aged better, and it hadn't. And I watched it on YouTube, and one of the comments was, oh, I love the song. And I think, no, you don't.
No, you don't. And it was awful. And it was like what would happen if you threw Green Day and a boy band together? But I guess that was the thing in 2004. That was about that time when that was a popular thing.
As a side note, though, looking back at some of the lyrics to Busted, I can't believe you let me listen to that. As a kid, I mean.
Have I missed a thing? There was a swear word in it, right?
Probably, but like Air Hostess and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, true. But different they were time. Like, I don't know. Different times, yeah. I mean, we have. I think we've probably come a long way in the last 20 years since these songs are coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could get away with a song about an air hostess now.
No, I don't think so. Here's another thing that I really couldn't stand about the film, and this was pointed out to me, I think, when I was a film student, which is interesting because that meant I learnt nothing. It's hard to explain, but in the script or the dialogue, at least, there was a lot of. You can do that, son. Okay, dad. Oh, you're the greatest son. I really am, dad. And it was constantly throwing it in your face that these people were related. And I think the thing that I learned at university is show it. Don't tell it that they're related.
Yeah.
Even though I had a bit of a creepy lecture about that. But it was like, why is it every sentence that he was like, oh, yeah, dad. Oh, yeah, son. You can save the world, son. I'm sure I can. Dad, it's just like, please stop. I know you're related. That's my brother, bro.
Well, you're right, son. That's absolutely true.
Are we going to do it now too?
Yeah, obviously you should have come in with a thanks, Dad.
I can't live with it. It's too annoying.
I know, but it's true. I just realized as you're saying that, we begin every single podcast with the phrase, with me as ever is my son. Sam, but and that, you say, hi, Dad.
But that needs to be a part of it, because that's just at the beginning. I don't constantly go, oh, what did you think of the film, Dad? You know what I mean? Just to remind the audience, by the way.
Yeah. It reminds me of, it doesn't remind me of anything, but it reminds me of that line in Back to the Future when Marty McFly calls his dad, Dad. Do you know that? and he switches it into Dad, 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 Daddy-o. So, actually, that reminds me, Back to the Future is going to be in our list because we saw those at the cinema together, didn't we?
I don't think we did. I think I remember seeing them at home.
I think
that scene that you just referenced, not from Indiana Jones 4?
I think it might be, but it is definitely also
okay.
I think they stole it from
okay.
Back to the Future because of the Robert Zemeckis connection or whatever that might be.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Going back to Thunderbirds, I'm afraid we do. We do often talk about CGI. This is 21-year-old CGI on a relatively limited budget. I didn't think it was that bad either. That would be my third saving grace.
Yeah, I think I had its moments that worked. Yeah.
Oh, it's not difficult CGI. It's a spaceship flying over London. And it was sort of the same standard you might have got from Doctor Who in 2010 or whatever. Sort of fairly BBC standard. But it wasn't terrible.
Speaking of Doctor Who, there's a weird sort of cameo and connection. Is that Sophia Miles played Madame de Pompadour and Ron Cook played Mr. Magpie in the 10th Doctor era of Doctor Who.
Am I right in thinking I read this and I think she got the Doctor Who gig because of this performance?
Possibly. I don't know, actually.
She is actually... We should have mentioned her. She's actually okay in this movie. I mean, she goes on to be in other things. She's in Underworld and Evolution and Transformers, which I'd forgotten about.
Yeah, very brief.
Very briefly. But actually, she was all right, I thought. And she's done some decent things, yeah. And you're right, she was the girl in the fireplace, wasn't she?
Yeah. I think they were a bit 2004 with her character. But I think that's all we need to say.
Well, except I was going to mention this, and I'm glad you've reminded me. Except, so she's heroic, big pink car, Parker. You know, she's the sort of femme fatale of the thing.
Yeah.
When she finally gets to the point where she might have something to do, she's basically captured.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, does nothing. I mean, she is, what is her point then?
Yeah, and I think as well, knowing that she's done more heroic things than the kids, but then she just lets the kids save the day at the end. It's like, okay, right. Just take the back seat then, sure.
Also, why is FAB never properly explained?
Yeah, I don't know.
It feels like a Thunderbirds reference that is wasted on me completely.
Yeah.
FAB? What?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, maybe it's ironic. Maybe they just knew that the film was not, in fact, FAB. Would you like to do the box office?
Yes.
Okay, so it had a budget of $57 million.
Wow.
Would you like to guess how much money it made at the box office?
I think I saw somewhere that it somehow saved money in production, but completely flopped.
Yeah, it made $28
million right.
On a $57 million budget, and
ouch.
It was therefore therefore considered a box office bomb.
Yeah, not surprised.
The director, Jonathan Frakes, said that he felt that the film was marketed badly. It didn't have appeal for older audiences who remember the TV original. It didn't have appeal for children who would have thought it was confusing. But he also said its biggest problem was it came out in the same week as Shrek 2 and Spider-Man 2.
Ah, yeah. Good point. That reminds me of... was it Stardust that was said where it should have been marketed more like Princess Bride? But
yeah,
it wasn't.
Absolutely.
Or was it Aragon? I can't remember. It's one of those, yeah.
They sort of got a little bit wrong, didn't they? And
it just
didn't work. The original creator of Thunderbirds, a guy called Jerry Anderson, was invited to act as a creative consultant in the movie. And they offered him a massive amount of cash, and he said no. They then offered him a massive amount of cash just to attend the premiere.
Wow.
And he said no.
Yeah.
And he later said the reason why was because the movie was the biggest load of crap he'd ever seen in his life.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I'd love to see somebody else try and do another Thunderbirds movie, but it's dark and gritty, as opposed to Cereal Box.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Let's give this to the hands of a director who is not afraid to push the envelope. Let's give this to Zack Snyder.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Zack, here's a couple of €100 million or whatever, dollars. You go away and you make this movie. And I reckon that, because I think there is something interesting in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Yeah. Zack Snyder's Thunderbirds.
It's one of those movies, however, I don't know how true this is, but whenever you get kind of a disappointing movie at the box office or a sort of commercial and sort of critical flop, there's always somebody somewhere that says, the movie now has a cult following. I don't know how true that is, but apparently this movie now does have a cult following. Particularly, it says, amongst children about the time they were released. And Sophie Miles, who we just referenced, Sophia Miles, she said, it was the most amazing time. I only have the fondest memories of making that film. And frankly, I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Okay, fair enough. Good for her, yeah. I thought it was one of those films she would have completely forgotten that she'd made. But sure, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm sure in a film of this quality... and that you have many pieces of fascinating trivia and indeed out-of-pocket takes.
Well, there was a lot of trivia, but I didn't particularly find it interesting. And I'm not sure why, because it was very... to be fair, it was very generic trivia. I picked and chose a few, you know what I mean? This movie was actually meant to be a prequel to the television show. With Alan becoming a full member by the end of the movie. There was a reason why it couldn't happen because of continuity with the first episode in season one, so it didn't happen. So
oh,
I guess it's just more of a standalone thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I never thought of that because I was not a Thunderbirds aficionado as a kid. It was the thing that was always on the TV, the puppet show. It was probably even on the TV when you were a kid.
I think it was.
Yeah. There we are. But it obviously was meant to be a prequel, or there was obviously sequels were thought of as well. There's always that cheesy line at the end, but no, obviously it was never going to happen, yeah?
Until Zack Snyder turns up.
If you're out there, Zack, and you listen to this, Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds definitely is. You know when we do that thing finally where we get to do one of our special episodes where we have a $200 million budget and it's our job to go away and make the film? I might think about doing Thunderbirds as well.
That's a good shout, yeah.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is this is one of those classic films that apparently takes place in the future. So it came out in 2004, but takes place in 2010. I don't know if that's really a particularly big part of the story, but there you go.
I guess the monorail thing was a bit random, wasn't it? Oh my goodness, the London monorail. And which is not a thing. And by the way, on the scale of things that shouldn't be implausible because it's a movie about Thunderbirds, but the dive off the bridge into the river?
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
No, not at all.
So she dives in the water. It's filthy. It's really dirty. And yet, for some reason, she's got her eyes open and she swims to the depths of the Thames and waves at the guy.
Clearly, they have a bit of London.
What is the actual point of these machines if they can't just rescue it? It requires a teenage girl to dive in to the freezing cold Thames from 150-foot London Bridge.
It's like, why did she dive in? We could have just sorted that a different way. Just let go on with it.
Yeah, suddenly she's a champion diver. Look at her go. There we are. Amazing. I tell you what, there is a thing that... that makes me a bit sad, and that is the Jonathan Frakes connection. Who a guy that you know? I like Star Trek. I didn't mind Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I think he's a decent director. And when this film came out and was a bit of a flop, I think he said sometime around sort of about 2005-06. I think he said something along the lines of, "It was a disappointment. I enjoyed doing it, but I'm almost certainly I'll never be asked to direct another movie again."
I saw that. Yeah,
and that's true. He wasn't.
It's a shame.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Sylvester McCoy auditioned for the role of Parker.
Yeah. Did he?
That would have been fun.
Parker was all right, wasn't he? I mean, it's not a difficult role, is it?
No.
Say yes, my lady, a few times.
Yeah.
And that's it. Also, the it's time for the Parker haymaker. Well, that's true, but only after you've kicked a gentleman in his complicated area.
Yeah.
Oh, not funny. It was as funny as a... No.
No.
Nowhere. That line's not going anywhere.
Okay. Were you going to ask about controversial opinions?
Controversial opinions?
Okay, some of these definitely might have to go.
Okay, so for those of you who have not listened to our podcast before, Sam will give me a controversial opinion. If you hear the controversial opinion, that means I've allowed it. If you don't hear it, it means I've said no. Okay, so Sam's controversial opinion, number one.
I'm a bit scared, to be honest. It's more of a controversial question.
The answer to the question is both.
Yeah,
but no one's ever gonna hear the question.
Good, yeah, that's fine with me. I don't know if this is a controversial opinion, but I almost gave it the Cardellini maneuver for Vanessa Hudgens.
I'll allow that. That's not controversial. She's great. Yeah. She's a good actress. But I don't know if I'm gonna invoke the Cardellini maneuver for Vanessa Hudgens in this movie.
Yeah.
But I can see why you would. But I don't think it's controversial. But
I don't know if I'll commit to it yet, but we'll see. My last one, which I've touched upon already, could do without the stuttering. Even I would bully these kids.
I think I'm going to allow that to stay in.
Okay, okay.
But only because, as we've already acknowledged, it's not funny.
It's mean.
It's not even a little bit funny. The whole joke is I'm going to start saying a word that I later can't get out and replace it with somebody else, as something else. It's badly acted. It's not funny, and it's not resolved either. It would be great if either character, at least at the end, were able to say a sentence without stuttering, and their newfound bravery has cured them of this hateful thing that many people suffer from. but it's not resolved. It's not funny.
Yeah, what you've just described there is the same film where the characters would have done something redeeming, which would have explained why they became the heroes at the end.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Sky High does a better job.
It does, yeah.
I mean, at least that movie's got a bit of a heart to it. By all accounts, this movie is the same. It's the same era. It's the same politics, philosophy, whatever. It's the same quality of special effects and so on. It's all wrong.
Yeah, one works, but the other really doesn't. Yeah,
that's absolutely true.
I was very confused by the end of the film, but it turns out all of those names at the end were the people who made the film.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There were people that made this movie, and it's on their CV forever.
I wondered why that always happened at the end of the film, of any film, but it turns out, yes, the people who made it.
Okay, so there's something else I wanted to say about this movie as well, and that is there is somebody in the cast, Rose Keegan, who plays Transom.
Ah, yeah.
She's the redhead, and actually a pretty good actress who's gone on to do lots of things in the theatre and really, really talented and everything else. I thought they were really mean to her.
Yeah, that was a very... I felt shame for that character, because that does feel like another 2004 How to Treat Someone, so to speak, and it just didn't really carry through for me.
I don't want to go too far on inappropriateness, okay?
Yeah.
Because this is a family podcast. But as far as I can make out, the joke is, here's an attractive woman, great body, because we're going to show you her bottom on camera, because that's amazing.
It was her first shot as well.
Right? But it turns out, not much to look at. It's not funny. It's
not.
Mean.
No.
And I don't know if you're that actress and you're wearing these prosthetic teeth and everything else, perfectly attractive actress, really talented, and the whole joke is, well, she's a bit ugly.
Yeah, it was demeaning, really.
Let's stick with that as the key word before we move on. Demeaning. The movie demeans every single thing about it, is demeaned by it. A good director, a good soundtrack, half decent cast, demeaning. That has probably ruined one word review.
I was thinking that,
think of something else. Okay, should we move on to our scores then for Thunderbirds? I think we're probably done with it, aren't we?
Yeah, done with it for sure.
I chose the movie.
For some reason.
Well, because, you know, completeness is everything. I gave it, I think, 3 out of 10, which I thought was generous, even at the time. I don't think it's a 0.
Okay.
And the reason why I don't think it's a 0 is because I like Jonathan Frakes. He was the guy from Star Trek. So, and I don't want to be mean about him. So I'm going to give it 1. So it's a 1 out of 10 movie, but only because of Jonathan Frakes. And Jonathan Frakes has actually added 17 points to it. So it would have been a -16 otherwise. So it's a 1. So this is for you, Jonathan.
Nice. I think the only positive thing that I can think to say about it is that the intro was kind of fun, the way it sort of was a callback to the original, the animated thing, but it did go on a bit too long, so even that wasn't very good. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was hard to watch. It was too colourful. Hang on a second. No, I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't enjoy it. I'm not going to invoke any manoeuvres or anything. This will go down in history as Sam's second 0. I'm never going to watch this again.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I feel like I should have given it 0 too. I think it might be the lowest scoring movie in our podcast history, though.
Yeah.
I think that a 0.5 overall just about sums it up. Nearly a double donut, but that one's for you, Commander Riker.
Nice.
Yeah. So what would be your one word review that isn't demeaning of this movie?
Don't.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just stop.
Stop.
If you're thinking of seeing this film, stop. Go watch something else.
My one word review of this movie would be, I'm just going to go obvious, awful.
Yeah.
But I want to qualify that, if I may, because I can't say just the word awful, because it is an awful movie. But it is awful in everything about it is awful. Yeah. The way they treat people, the jokes aren't funny. Yeah, it's awful.
I've just noticed the poster for this film says, climb into the driver's seat of the most advanced rescue vehicles on the planet. I don't think I saw that film.
I don't think I saw that film either. Yeah, I didn't see that. Definitely didn't see that film. Nevertheless, I appreciate the fact that some of the actors were game, they enjoyed making it. And kudos to the guy that went on from that to be the director of the critically acclaimed movie The Brutalist, which, by the way, is apparently the finest movie of its generation.
Wow. Maybe I should check it out then.
It is a 3.5 hour long movie in which nothing happens.
Maybe I won't check it out then.
Let's see. So it's over to you to choose next week's film. Please, please, please save us.
Yeah.
Ooh, sound like Flash Gordon.
I will say that I have noticed, as of this episode, we're only 6 away from Cloverfield.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, actually, as of this, when this episode is released, we're only 5 away from Cloverfield. Because this would be episode 45.
I thought this was 44.
I'm counting episode 0.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'll allow that. Even though I don't want to watch it. Yeah, I've chosen a movie, as I do. And we're jumping ahead quite a bit. But this one's kind of interesting, for memory-wise for me. And it's the 2012 Joss Whedon, controversial. Got 2 different names in the UK, because of the UK, The Avengers.
Right. So this is not The Avengers. This is The Avengers.
Yeah. In the UK, they called it Avengers Assemble.
Got it. Okay. So it is The Avengers.
Yes.
But not The Avengers. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. You're right. Because The Avengers was a very famous British television program about spies that was actually did become a film, I think.
I think it did, yeah.
Probably like late 90s. So we're going right back to the beginning of The Avengers.
Yeah.
2012. I'm very excited for that.
Me too. My memory is interesting of this. I don't know if we'll touch upon this in the next episode, but I do want to say it now. This, for me, was another Iron Man film. Because the only films that we'd seen in this universe at that time were Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and The Incredible Hulk. And he's not even in it. So to me, this was me just going, Iron Man's in this film, let's go watch it. But it's a whole thing, and it started off a whole universe. So obviously after this, I went back and watched Captain America and Thor and things like that, and it started from there. But to me, this was just a small carry-on film from the previous ones. I'm explaining this really badly. So I'll jump to my score. So I think for me, I'm probably going to give this a 7 out of 10, because I don't think it's amazing. But I do like it, and I do have that weird memory of it.
I think I know exactly what you mean with your memory. If you had known in 2012 what was happening when you sat down to watch The Avengers, if you knew where that was going 10 years down the line, you wouldn't have thought it was possible. So is that sort of what you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like an era-defining movie, but the era had yet to be defined.
Yeah, but I think it's also just because the only character I was aware of was Iron Man. And here he is with these other superheroes of movies that I've never watched. So in a way, I wasn't one of those people who sat and watched every single one of them and then went, okay, here they are together in the Avengers. I was, here's this guy that I know in this team. I'm going to have to go back and see the other people.
It's one of those things where I suspect you have rewatched this already.
At some point, yeah. Not recently, though.
Slipping into anecdote mode. During lockdown, remember that?
I do, yeah.
I did a thing where I watched all of the James Bond movies in chronological order.
Okay.
And I also watched all of the Marvel movies in chronological order up until that point. And so I have seen this in the last sort of 5 or 6 years. But as it was in lockdown and I was doing one a day, I'm not sure how much attention I was paying to it.
Yeah.
So from memory, I'm going to go 5.
Okay.
Because I think I don't know enough, and I think what came after it was probably better than what started it.
Yeah. I also don't think I've ever watched this as a standalone since 2012.
Yeah, so that's a thing I'm quite looking forward to. But yeah, I'm actually quite excited to go back and watch something that isn't Thunderbirds.
Yeah, me too. Although it could be. You could argue it is.
Well, it could be. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It could be. It could be just as bad. We'll never know. Of course we're going to know. We'll be back.
Tune
in
next time. Next
week. We'll be back this time next week talking about it. And then it'll be my turn to choose a movie. Then your turn. Then my turn. And then you have to choose Cloverfield.
Oh.
Whether you like it. Have you never seen Cloverfield since that time that I showed it to you and ruined your childhood?
Not in its entirety, unless you count Nightmares.
Okay.
Which I still get.
So to preempt that, hashtag Cloverfield, how do you feel being only 1 month away from watching it again?
I'm trying to deny it.
Yeah. We should say at this point, if you don't want to watch it, I wouldn't force you to.
There's a part of me that wants to try.
I think there has to be an understanding, if you don't want to watch the movie again, that I don't want to be responsible for ruining your adulthood.
Yeah.
I forced you to watch this movie when you shouldn't have watched it. Forced is the wrong word. I didn't think you'd be scared by it.
Neither did I, to be fair.
But if I then make you watch it again, that's bad dad, right?
No, because I think there's no positive way to spin it. But I think it's my fault the second time around. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be your responsibility at all the second time around.
Okay, fine. I don't want to be in a situation where you're going, okay, I'll watch it. And then you watch it and you have all these flashbacks.
Yeah, it's all right because I'll pretend that I watch it, but I'll watch Thomas and the Magic Railroad instead.
Absolutely. You know that's on our list, right?
It is. I'd be taken off that box.
Yeah, and as is the Magic Roundabout.
Absolutely, yeah. Classic.
Looking forward to both of them. Classic. You surely know what day it is today.
Well, for some reason my laptop said it was Star Wars Day, but it wasn't. And now it just says rhubarb recipes. So I haven't seen anything at all today.
All I got was Defender of the Fatherland in Kazakhstan.
Wow, there you go.
So if you're listening to this in Kazakhstan, knock yourself out by defending the fatherland. not motherland, fatherland. And maybe combine that with rhubarb recipes of some description.
Yeah, cool.
I didn't get anything else.
No, I couldn't find anything.
And it's not Star Wars Day either. Okay, well, thanks very much for listening to our podcast. Do keep your emails and questions coming in. We like them very much. At the Benefit of Hindsight podcast at gmail.com. Thanks to all those people who email in. We're coming up, I suspect, to another listener question. We've got far more questions than we could possibly answer than episodes of the podcast ahead, so we'll probably come up with that. I have had a request for us to do the Flash Gordon episode at some point in the future as well, so we need to come back. We need to come back to that too, because you know I do want you to watch Flash Gordon because it is the best soundtrack of all time ever. Simple as that.
It's the epitome of cinema.
It is the soundtrack upon which all other soundtracks post 1980 are based.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I might stand by that comment. I think that might be true.
You're dying on that hill.
I'm going to die on that hill. So there you go. So lots of things to come. Cloverfield, Flash Gordon. But first, the next thing up will be The Avengers from 2012. How terribly exciting. All that remains for Sam and I is to try and say goodbye in a way that is not in any way empathetic. So goodbye.
Goodbye.
Geek.
Of hindsight, we'll see, were the movies truly awful, or did they change history?